Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Celtics Talk Podcast. I'm Kyle Draper, joined as always by Asherai Blakely. What's up, big fella?
What's going on, Kyle?
Good. Last time we hung out was on the road. Actually, we didn't even hang out on the road on
You were busy.
You were big timing me. You know how
good.
It is. It's all right.
Drapes is a different kind of dude on the road.
What is that supposed to mean, big
You are MIA.
That's because I'm working hard, dude.
Making ish happen.
Working hard, in bed by 9, drinking that warm milk, watching Jessica Lange or whatever her name is.
It's Jessica Lansbury.
You remember that on Murder,
which
She
I
Wrote?
I do watch, but that's another story.
Hey, man, we got a whole lot to get to. You got a good interview with the dancing bear himself, Gershon Yabusele.
Nice job, Kyle. Nice job. I was waiting for you to screw that up. Nice.
This is what I do. You know what? How I pronounce his name? I have to remember, just take my time, Kyle. No need to just rattle it off. Because if I rattle it off, I'm going to say Yabusele. But if I say Yabusele, you see how that flows off the tongue?
It has a very more fluid pronunciation. It's not as rushed as you would think it would be.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that interview, man. I'm sure you guys get into a lot of good things. He's stateside, hoping to play for the main Red Claws,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal. We'll find out soon whether or not he's going to be able to do that. But it's just good to have him over here.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. Exactly. So we'll talk to him in a minute. But first, let's get into the Celtics and where they stand right now in the thick of the playoff race, trying to get that number one seed in the Eastern Conference. About, 14 games left to go or so. What do you think, Sherrod? I don't think they'll catch Cleveland. I know LeBron might rest and everything like that. But if Kevin Love comes back healthy, I still think Cleveland's that number one seed.
With or without a healthy Kevin Love, I still think the Celtics will ultimately wind up in that number two spot. And frankly, I think that's where they belong. I think the way this season has played out, the way they have played, the way they have found ways to win consistently, even with a roster that hasn't been consistently whole, they should be the second best team in the East. And for them, yep, that should do it.
Because that's what we were talking about during preseason.
That was the best case scenario out there. Because, I mean, Cleveland really, even if you look at – even an undermanned, beaten-up Cleveland team, I still think in a best-of-7, they'd win right now.
Yeah, no doubt about that. But if you're the Celtics, if you can stamp at the end of the season and say, we are the second-best, there's no shame in finishing behind Cleveland.
Well, think about this, though. You haven't been out of the first round of the playoffs in years.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're going in as a number two seed means you've got home court all the way up until the conference finals. That's not a bad thing.
With that being said, Sherrod, hopefully they aren't satisfied with that, because ultimately this season is about the postseason, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they could finish number three as long as they win some playoff series. I'm cool with that.
I get the sense that these cats are kind of thirsty, that they're kind of thirsty to prove that they're not just having a good regular season, but that they can make a little noise in the playoffs. They're starting to figure things out as a group. That's starting five. I mean, it's crazy. I was talking with Amir Johnson about this postgame, and – I brought up to his attention that they've only played 28 games together with that starting five, and he just gave me this look like, what?
That's it?
It's true. But here's the thing. They're 21-7 with that group. I mean, at that winning percentage, they would be tops in the East, third behind San Antonio and Golden State in the NBA if that were, for the season. So those guys know how to win. It's just a matter of getting on there, getting a nice rhythm, and playing consistently together and being healthy enough to do that.
How worried are you about the Wizards, coming up behind them? They got them on Monday. That's going to be a huge game at the TD Garden. I like the Wizards. They've hit a little bit of rough patch these last couple of games, losing two in a row. But the Wizards are legit, man.
They're legit, but when I watch them play, I feel like I'm watching the absolute best that they have to offer. And if that's what I'm seeing now.
Sherrod, come on, bro.
Drapes,
they just got Drapes, Bogdanovich Drapes. 2 weeks ago. They're still trying to fit him in.
John Wall is playing amazing basketball. Beal, amazing basketball. I don't think they have another level to reach. I think what we're seeing now is
the Celtics have another level.
Oh, absolutely.
Who has another level? Give me some names.
Let's go down the line.
Does Isaiah have another level? And you saying John Wall does it?
Can I give you some names?
You saying John Wall does it? Go ahead.
Let's talk about Avery Bradley. Let's talk about Al Horford.
I'm worried
about Avery.
Let's talk
about Jaylen Brown. Let's talk about Kelly Olynyk. You go down the line and look at this Celtics roster. They got the second best record in the East, and you go down their roster, there's at least half of their rotation who has the potential to get better, who are not playing their best basketball right now.
Though. you can make a serious argument that the Wizards have two of the top three players in between the two teams. Like, if you put combined of both rosters, you could argue that Wall and Beal.
You know what, Drapes? That would be an amazing thing to happen if we were playing 3-on-3. I would say yes, yes, go ahead. But last time I checked, the NBA likes to have 5 on one side, 5 on the other.
This is the problem, Sharad. I'm trying to balance your homerism, bro. You know, homerism.
You asked me to give you names, and I gave you 4.
But I feel like if we were in Washington and worked in Washington, you'd be saying it about
I would
the
say
Wizards.
That they're playing their absolute best basketball right now, which is true.
But you wouldn't be saying, Kelly Olynyk could go to another level. Jalen
can
go to
he
another
can.
Level.
Keep going.
And you don't think
Avery, yes.
Wall and Beal can go to another
no.
level?
No.
You're crazy.
I think right
dude,
now you are
crazy.
Seeing the absolute – have you seen the way they're balling out?
Dude, I got NBA League Pass. I watch every game.
So do I. And you know, but you don't. You think they're better? You think they've got another level that they
so.
Can take it to?
I think those two.
Wow.
Yeah, I think those
really?
Two really. I mean, because here's the thing.
So they got two guys that can take it to another level. Okay.
Have they won playoff series? I'm not sure. I have to check. They've won playoff series. I want to see our guys win a playoff series, bring it in the playoffs. Because
I thought we were talking about guys who still have room to grow. We're talking about
no,
– oh, okay.
But we've seen our guys. Not everybody has stepped their game up in the postseason. That's going to be key for the Celtics this year. I think once you get to the playoffs, IT, AB, Marcus, they're going to have to raise their games. If they, if you really have a dream of making the Eastern Conference Finals, I don't want to see regular season Celtics. I want to see them take it to a different level.
Okay.
You're not rebutting that?
No, because you do exactly what I expect you to do. Take the loss, shift the subject. So I'm going to do the same and just shift the subject. Well, I got that win. It's all good.
All right. No, one guy you mentioned, Jaylen Brown, the young rook, since the All-Star break, really since AB went out with that injury, has really cemented himself in the rotation. What do you think about Jaylen and what we've seen the last 15 to 20 games or whatever?
He's been more consistent. His defense has been a lot better, and that really that's the thing that Brad absolutely has to have if you're going to get on the floor. I like the fact that he's a young fella playing on a playoff team, playing a prominent role in a playoff team. But, you know, like all young guys, he's going to have his ups and downs. He's going to have his trials and tribulations that he's got to work through, whether they be on the court or off the court. And he's figuring all that stuff out. But he's a heck of a player. There's no doubt about that. And he's a guy that if you're the Boston Celtics, you know, for you to have the kind of season that you think you're capable of having, he's going to have to be part of that equation.
But as a rookie – because Jaylen is like
– he's not your typical rookie.
Yeah, but when we talked to him where were we at? Golden State. You and I talked to him in the locker room, and he said, you know, he's just scratching the surface. You ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah. I feel like he's that pit bull that wants to just be let go. Let me go, coach. Let me do my thing. But he's still a rookie, Shira. How do you balance that?
When you when you let a pit bull just go, he's going to bite somebody he shouldn't bite. Pit bulls are like – all of us, there's a certain amount of training that you need to have before that you can be let go and run free. And Jaylen, I think, sometimes struggles with embracing the fact that there's still a lot that he has to learn. Yeah. Not only about playing the game, but knowing how to play the game within the game, with your teammates, with officials, with the media. And he's pretty good for the most part, but he's a rookie. He's going to have slip-ups. He's going to make bad decisions, just like veterans are going to make bad decisions. But the difference is veterans typically learn from those mistakes and move on and just keep it moving. Rookies, it tends to fester a little bit. And it's a lot harder for them to just kind of let things go than it is for veterans, guys who've been there and done that.
He has a lot to learn, but if I'm Jaylen, I feel like I'm as good as anybody in the league. You know,
don't have to be like Jaylen. That is Jaylen.
Right,
Jaylen feels that way.
Right. And so you want your opportunity. You want to be able to, you know, do your thing. I mean, it's hard to preach patience, you know, to a guy like that when – you know, he's so hungry.
Yeah.
He's so confident. And we saw it the other night, him and Marcus Smart getting into it there over, you know, Jaylen not running the play all the way through, instead taking it to the hole. What's your take on that? First of all, the play and then the reaction afterwards.
The play, and I went back and I watched it a few times. And to me, it's one of those they need to agree to disagree.
Right,
because
right.
Jaylen, yes, he broke off the play, which was wrong. But he broke off the play because he had a better shot. He had a clear lane to the rim, and there was defense that came at the very last minute that forced him to miss the shot. But I think if you were to put Marcus Smart, if you were to put Isaiah Thomas, if you were to put Jay Crowder in Jalen's shoes at that moment, they probably would have done the same thing. Because, again, you're trying to help your teammate. I didn't think it was a selfish play. And that, to me, is what I think Jalen may have taken offense to. I mean, the way Marcus came at him afterwards, it was almost like, young fella, why are you trying to, you know, trying to get your shine on with your team?
That's how it came. Reaction.
But looking at that play, I did not think it was a selfish move on Jalen's part. He literally took what the defense was giving him. And Marcus, I can understand where Marcus was coming from, because from his viewpoint, it looked like a selfish play. But when you – I suspect when they watch this in review, they're both going to be like, okay.
Yeah.
You were wrong, I was wrong, so we agree to be
Jalen
wrong.
Jalen was being aggressive. He thought he
had
the lane.
Which
there.
Is his game.
Right. That's
which is
want.
A big part of his game.
And the lane was there. Jonas sealed the guy and created the lane. From Marcus's vantage point, though, it seemed like, oh, man, I'm about to get this three-pointer. I'm coming off, you know, wide open here. And then Marcus looks, and Jalen's already gone. And so Marcus is like, yo, I had this open three if you just would have waited a second.
And what made it so bad was that they ran a similar action after that, and it led to a wide-open shot for Al Horford, who drained it. So it's just like he's looking over the room like, see? If you would have just ran the play. This is who. But no two plays can be executed the same. I am going to side with Jalen on this one because, again, looking at that play, looking at where what he was seeing, I don't know any guy in this league whose game is an aggressive type of game who wouldn't have done the same thing.
That.
Yeah, it was a good shot.
But people are asking me, oh, will it be any carryover? Will we see, you know, is this a bigger issue behind the scenes? I don't think so, but those guys will let us know.
Well,
going forward,
I think it would have been a bigger issue if it was a clear and undeniable act of selfishness.
Right.
Like when Jay Crowder and Marcus Smart, they had a little tiff on the court last year.
Yeah.
That was a selfish play by Marcus.
Right.
And Marcus knew that, which is why he apologized to the team afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was squashed. I think this is a little different. I think this is just a matter of two aggressive young competitors who see the same thing but differently. I mean, it really is like looking at the same picture. One guy is on the south side, the other guy's on the east side. It's the same picture, same image, but they see it differently because of their vantage points.
Yeah,
I don't think there's gonna be any kind of carryover with this.
No doubt about it. Well, it'll be interesting because you got a young rookie who feels like, you know, he's making
thirsty.
A stride. He's thirsty. And then you got, you know, a system that, you know, outside of Isaiah, you know, it doesn't really feature one guy.
No, and that's the beauty of their offense,
yeah.
And really just their whole team as a whole. You can't really go into a game saying, I'm going to put all my eggs in one basket and try to stop him. Because Isaiah has shown, he'll just give it to Al and let Al facilitate, that guy. So.
Yeah. All right, speaking of the backcourt, when you mentioned Isaiah, what about Avery Bradley? He's back. He's played in, 27 games or something like that, or whatever it is. 44 games, I think it is. What do you think about AB? He seems to be the forgotten man a little bit.
It's amazing how different they are defensively with Avery on the floor. And it's not so much him just locking his guy up. It's the domino effect that happens with this group when they know that Avery's man is probably not going to have a really good game. The fact that it allows guys like Jay Crowder and Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford to become more impactful players. Amir Johnson has elevated his game, you know, since AB's been back in almost every statistical category. This is a better team with Avery Bradley. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And if they want to have that type of season that they've been talking about, lusting for and all that, AB has to be healthy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we saw it out there in Golden State, you know, against the Warriors. Without AB, I don't know if they win that game.
My favorite moment since AB has been back was when they went play Cleveland, and him and Kyrie went at it down the stretch. Listen, that was old-school basketball. That was kind of like, listen, we know it's 5-on-5, but we're going to stand over here. Y'all stand over there. Let them settle this for us. And that was beautiful basketball.
But here's the issue, though. Going forward for the Celtics, and I'm not talking this season, you're going to have top three, top four pick.
Mm-hmm.
There's Lonzo Ball out there.
Oh, God.
Fultz.
Oh, God.
Jackson. You know, Tatum. Whoever you want to name.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do if you're Danny Ainge and you get that top two pick? And those two guards that I mentioned are sitting right there.
You got to take the best one available. If I got the number one pick, I'm taking Fultz. If I got the number two pick, I'm taking Ball. And I'm just – look, listen, I'm going to let them figure it out because that's the beautiful thing about the NBA and talent. When you put talent in a gym and you are going through practices,
right,
the cream is going to rise to the top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's why a guy like Avery Bradley could just do the impossible and actually unseat Ray Allen as a starting guard in the NBA, which is crazy.
Which I wasn't ready. I still don't like that move. I still don't think that was the right move back in the day. Because Avery of now, okay. But at the time, AB hadn't earned that right, I don't think.
Well, I'll say this. When AB got on the floor, he was pretty damn good. Even
you know,
then,
hey,
even
guy,
then,
man.
He was pretty damn
Ray,
good.
Ray Allen's my guy.
Oh, Ray Allen, three ball all day.
Yeah, I love
Take
Ray,
away the three ball. What you got?
Dude, you got big shot Allen.
Which is a three ball.
Ask LeBron what Ray Allen means.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that's what – no, but I'm not going to get into Ray Allen. We're talking about if you're Danny Ainge – and you get
I think
a false,
you have to take
or you get a ball, but somebody's going
to
be the odd
you
man out.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
You're
going to
have to move somebody.
You're going to be in the same situation that Philly was this year with all those bigs.
Those big,
you,
right.
You're going to have to move somebody. I think the most logical guy is Rozier, which I'm not crazy about because I think he's going to be really good.
But
think about this. If you are trying to build a team to win a championship and you sense that you're close, closer than you've ever been under Brad Stevens, you are going to more than likely look to move guys near the back end of that guard rotation.
Right,
like,
right.
You're not going to trade Avery Bradley unless you're getting a stud.
Okay.
You're not going to trade Marcus Smart unless you're getting a really good player.
Yeah.
You're not going to move Isaiah Thomas because last I checked, you don't have anybody that can get you 29 points a night other than him. So your options become limited. And with a guy like Rozier, people have seen enough of him to know that he's going to be pretty good. I mean, I know Orlando.
What's his value, though?
Well, that's the issue.
What you gonna get?
I mean,
you
I think
package
if you're
him with the,
well, if you're the Celtics, you might be willing to just kind of get just a pick because if you're getting Fultz or Ball, and you got to get rid of him, and you're gonna get a future first round pick in return, you're cool with that.
Yeah, like, you know, if I have number one, I'm taking Fultz just because I think his ceiling, like his second gear, is better. But what if you got that number two pick and Lonzo Ball is staring right at you? LaVar Ball is right behind him, you know, barking.
Behind
you
him. Or, right next to
right
him.
Right next, maybe even in front of him. I mean,
exactly.
Do you take into account the daddy drama, the papa drama?
I don't see any way you can avoid that. I mean, we're talking about a guy who has had beef with Charles Barkley, a guy who says he
could
have
killed. Now, you would take Ball number two.
Yeah.
Hold up. I'm trying to jog my memory here. On Celtics pregame live on Wednesday, didn't you say you worried about the fit here?
I do.
You don't. You
I still. I still. Listen, my concerns about him are never going to change, whether he's the second pick or the 22nd pick. I am going to be concerned about that, but I can't allow my fears to get in the way of taking a hell of a player. I can. In other words, if I'm a GM, I'm not going to be scared of Papa. I can't do my job if I'm focused on what some dude five rows up is going to say to the media about his son playing or not playing. My job is to get the best players available for my team that are the best fits. And when you look at what he does on the court, forget about daddy for just a nanosecond.
He's a good player.
Forget about daddy for a nanosecond and just focus on what he does as a player. He's a perfect fit. A pass first, big shot, big game point guard.
And I feel like he allows.
And he can slide. You know what? He's not. Again, I had to cut you off, but he's not a shooter per se. But he has the length to play off the ball defensively.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you can move Isaiah off the ball. Can you imagine?
Right.
You know, Lonzo Ball with Isaiah. You know, running around out there. You know, my thing is, I don't think Papa. I mean, let's say Lonzo comes to Boston. Only playing 10 minutes a game.
Okay.
Is Papa going to be pissed?
You know what? Don't matter.
And like
it does not matter.
I know he's the talk of the town now. Everybody's, you know, he's all on ESPN, you know, stations out in L.A., you know, worldwide or whatever. But I think once that, like, I can't imagine him screaming at Brad Stevens or screaming at Danny or something like that. Play my son. He's better than everybody on that team. That's a recipe for disaster.
They will look at him like he's crazy because they're like, you do realize we're trying to win a chip here.
Right.
You do realize that right now, guess what? Avery Bradley is better than your son. Isaiah Thomas is better than your son. Your son is going to be nice. Your son is going to play. But right now, he's not that dude that's going to get us a chip.
That'll be interesting because it's one thing, like you said, to get drafted by the Sixers who have no guards. And you're riding the bench. All right, you could be pissed. But when you
I'm going to tell you right now, if that happens, oh, my God.
Nah, the 6A, if that is a hot Philly mess. Dude, they are going to turn the keys over to him.
How's Embiid going to deal with that?
How's Ben Simmons going to deal with that?
Ben who?
Ben ain't been playing. That's who I'm talking
Ben
about.
On the bench. Been on the bench all season, Simmons. There we go.
Nah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. I'm a Lonzo Ball guy. I still would take Fultz first, number one, and then Lonzo Ball. But I wouldn't let his dad scare me away.
Listen, Pop. Pop's got a lot of.
Cash them checks. Count that cheddar.
But why are you taking? I mean, you would have killed Michael Jordan in back in your heyday. I mean, that's what.
But you know how it is. He's just bragging, dude.
That's like you saying you could kill Rick Brunson back in your day, which Rick put the. Rick Brunson, Brunson. Shout out to Rick Brunson.
We used to go at it one-on-one, bro.
My man from Syracuse, New York, Sunnycrest Park, back in the day, Rick Brunson, my dude.
Hey, we used to go at it one-on-one, man. That was fun seeing Rick Brunson. All right, man. Let's get into your interview with Gershon Yabusele.
Nice job, Drace.
All you
nice
gotta do is slow it down. People out there, if you're listening, just slow it down when you say it. You guys touch on a number of topics. Give us a quick preview, then we'll jump into that interview.
Well, in a nutshell, we talked about just being here in Boston. He had a chance to have the medical staff take a look at that ankle. He'll talk a little bit about that. He talked about the chances of him playing with the Maine Red Claws and just what he's looking forward to bringing to the Celtics. And the NBA player that he says his game probably most models, which is interesting.
All right, let's jump into that interview right now.
We are here with 2016 first-round draft pick Gershon Yabusele of the Boston Celtics. And Gershon, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Thank you. Happy to be back.
Yes. Tell me a little bit about just to bring our listeners up to speed, you spent this past season over in China.
Yes.
What was that like? I mean, you're a 21-year-old from France. There's a lot of countries in Europe and in Asia to play in, and you're in China. How was that?
We decided this after the summer league when they come to me, and we was thinking about it, and we just see it like a big opportunity for me because I'm going to need to have more responsibilities on the team. I got to be a playmaker over there. So it was really great for me, for my confidence too. So we see it like a big opportunity to go over there.
I was looking at your numbers. I think over 20 points, 9 rebounds. You shot, 36-37% from three-point range. What part of your game do you think you improved the most on while playing over in China?
Offensively, I work a lot of my shot. I was working a lot of my shot with the coach assistant and a little bit of post-off, but most of it is the drive. I was really strong on the drive, and that was the key.
Mm-hmm. And for you, when you were in China, I remember just talking with folks with the Celtics and actually other scouts who watched you play previously. They said that you used to play with a lot of guys that were older than you, and so you never really had a chance to kind of really show all that you can do. Was that what in China, did that help you kind of expand your game to show more of what you're capable of doing?
Yes, really, a lot, because in China it was different. Because I was on the team and I was supposed to play, so they was giving me the ball and for me to make the play. So I had to step up my level in the offense and just be better and have more responsibilities.
And for you, now that you're back stateside, you had a chance to see your first Celtics game live in season. What was that like for you?
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. Feels good to be in the TD Garden. We have a great fan. Last night was a great game. So, I mean, it was just amazing. I really enjoyed the game.
And you had a chance to reacquaint yourself with some of the guys that you were with in Summer League. What's that going to be like, just being a part of an NBA team going forward for you?
That's a great moment. That's something I never feel before. So that was just all great. I was happy to be around these guys. And we just enjoy to be together.
Now, the one, I guess, one downside to when you were over in China was you had that ankle sprain. What's the latest on that?
I mean, it just happened, like, in the last two games in the playoff. Everybody was a little bit sad because it was the last game, but I played the last game, and right now I'm with the doctor who is checking out my ankle, try to come back healthy and just be better.
Will you be able to play with the main Red Claws this year?
We don't know yet. We didn't discuss about it, but we're waiting on the doc result.
Okay. If you're not able to play with the Red Claws, you'll still be around the Celtics and stuff. What are you hoping to get from that time around the current players and the current coaching staff?
I think it's good for the experience to be around those guys because they're going to be in the playoffs. So I think it's going to be great for me. I can just learn more about it and be around those guys just a chance.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I don't think most people know about you, the nickname, Dancing Bear. Apparently, I thought it was just a summer league thing, but apparently, mm-hmm. I guess the folks in China, they refer to you as Dancing Bear too, don't they?
Yeah, in China, they was calling me Little Bear. So it was kind of the same, but it was still funny.
Now, was there a game or maybe after a game, someone gave you an actual stuffed bear?
Yes, they were doing a lot of this with the bear. Even on the street, people was calling me a bear. So yeah, it was funny.
I remember that. I think it was Micah Shrewsbury, the assistant coach of the Celtics.
Yes.
He gave you that nickname because of your
yes.
footwork.
Yes.
He said he has great footwork. He's like a dancing bear out there. How did you take that at first? Because some guys, they get nicknames, and they're like, oh, I hate that nickname. And other guys like, yes, I love it. You seem to kind of embrace the dancing bear nickname.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I mean, for my weight, you know, not a lot of people can run like me, have a footwork like me. So, I mean, I like it. I appreciate that they give me this nickname, and it's all funny, but I like it.
Now, and speaking of your size and your footwork, now – I can't remember who told me, but you have like a body fat of like 6%, something like that.
Yes, it was 7 something.
That's still insanely low for someone who's big as you. That means you're just like this walking muscle out there with no fat.
that's what they were saying. But yes, I'll be working a lot. Be careful on what I'm eating and just be healthy.
Now, what's your weight at right now?
We didn't weigh right now, but I think it's like 2276, something like that.
My goodness. You are in ridiculously healthy shape, young man, you are.
Thank you.
For you, so what have you been able to do since you've been here? I mean, other than kind of dig yourself out of all that snow.
Nothing yet because I've been here for like 3 days now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really tired of the jet lag, so I didn't do a lot of things right now. But yeah, I'm gonna look forward to walking Boston downtown and have fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that the Celtics have made pretty clear is that you're gonna be with them next season. For you, first year with the team, what are your expectations for yourself?
I'm just trying to be the best. Try to have the team as much as possible. I can't give all the energy on the court, be good in offense and defense, and just, you know, play good.
Now, I remember we talked yesterday, and I guess you said you had a chance to catch a couple of Celtics games this past mm-hmm. season.
Yeah, on the TV.
What did you see when you watched him play? Like, what jumped out at you when you watched the Celtics play?
The ball movement, the way they play together, it was just insane. The energy level, the way they play, I mean, it was just amazing. You want to be on this team when you watch the game. So it was a great feeling.
And for you, when you watch that, do you envision yourself being on the floor with them? Do you see, like, ways that you could be part of that and help this team going forward?
Yes, definitely. I think I can bring energy, rebound, and really help the team.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about those things, is there a player in the NBA that when you look at your game, you say, you know, my game is like his game. Who's that player?
Yeah, I can't really compare my game to Draymond Green, the kind of energy
That's not bad.
Guy, kind of energy guy. You can just make the play in the team. So, yeah.
Wow. I think Celtics fans would be okay if you're kind of like Draymond Green. I think they would like that. I think they would like that a lot. Now you've had, I guess, I know you've had like treatments for the ankle, and you're trying to get over the jet lag. Have you thought about like what's the one thing you want to do in Boston, like while you're here, just not away from basketball, but just to get a sense of what the city's like?
I just want to go downtown and, you know, see the spot, the restaurant, and discover a lot of places like that.
Okay. Okay. We'll see if we can make that happen. I may have to give the Celtics a call and see if we can kind of arrange a tour of Boston for the new fella, for the dancing bear. Absolutely. Well, listen, thank you so much for your time, my friend. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
And we will definitely be talking with you in the very near future, man. And good luck with everything, young fella.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Shout out to the dancing bear, Gershon
Yabusele.
Good stuff, Sherrod. Good stuff. What's his fit, I guess, going forward? I mean, what's the hope of the Celtics for this guy next season?
My hope is the same hope that he got for himself, that he's Draymond Green 2.0. Because if that's what we're looking at, oh, my. He's going to be good. I think he'll be a good fit for the Celtics. I don't think he's going to have nearly as dominant an impact as, let's say, a Draymond Green had when he came to the league.
Right.
But they do have similar skills. I will say that he's a better ball handler than I thought. Just watching him play over in China, he had more opportunities to display his whole arsenal.
Yeah.
In terms of shooting, in terms of defending, being a playmaker. I look at him more along the lines of a Boris Diaw, to be honest. A guy who can really help facilitate, can hit that mid-range.
Yeah.
And is a guy that when you watch him play, what you see and what he can do don't necessarily match up. Like, he looks like a guy that's going to spend the entire game underneath the rim just bulldozing people.
Yeah.
But he's more finesse than force. And that, I think he has to find that balance between being that big, strong guy, which he is physically, with really being able to implement that finesse part of his game, which I think is going to be really – it's going to translate well, I think, to this level.
Yeah, I remember when the Celtics drafted him, people are like, who the heck is this at number 16? And now it seems like next season, him and Ante Zizic, they're going to be a part of this roster. The Celtics are banking on these guys to make the roster, be on the roster, and contribute next season.
Yeah, I get the sense that there's little doubt that both of these guys will be on the roster. It's just a matter of, are they going to be on the roster a la Jordan Mickey, or are they going to be on the roster a la Demetrius Jackson, where you're shuttling back and forth between here and Maine? I suspect that Zizic will get he's got a better chance of fitting in, because the one thing he does well, which is crash the glass, be physical, just absolutely a high-energy guy. I think that is something that they're really going to need next season. And a guy that, frankly, doesn't really care if he gets touches. He's just out there to just basically crash people. My man, Dancing Bear, he's got a little more offensive mojo to his game. So when he gets on the floor, he might be looking to score a little bit more than Ante will. But bottom line is, you got a couple of young guys that you were able to draft and stash, get them some international experience, and that should, I think, play out well for the Celtics going forward.
Yeah, and I hope Yabusele joins the Maine Red Claws, because I think that'll be a treat for fans. I mean, this is the guy, you know, who scored, you know, better than 20 points, 9 rebounds over in Shanghai, but, you know, for people to see him up close and personal, I might have to make that trip up to Portland, Maine.
It's a wrap.
We got to go up there and see
him. It's a wrap. We're definitely going up there. I mean, that's – hey, we might even do an episode from up there.
We should. Jason, you could chime in, right?
I guess
thumbs
so.
Up the
travel budget's pretty low, but guess
we can
make
the
drive to Maine.
We got the $20 gas money or whatever it is. Put us up in a hotel up there.
We cash in some of those bottle returns I got in the back to get some gas money.
No, that's good stuff.
Who wants to sponsor our trip to Portland, Maine?
Dude, I got people up in Portland, man. Let me get on the phone to Portland, Maine. You know, Portland Brewery up there or something like that. Have them sponsor us up there. All right, man, let's wrap this thing up. We're in the stretch run of the season for the Celtics. What, a month? Less than a month now to go.
It's about a month ago, yeah.
And so I've always said you want to be playing your best basketball leading up into the playoffs. I don't care about November or December, how you look. It's how you look late March, early April. And the Celtics have a chance to, you know, start getting some momentum here. Everybody's back healthy and position themselves for the playoffs.
And that's the big part right there, staying healthy. I mean, they are healthy now. They need to stay that way. We've seen the last couple of years in the playoffs, health has been a major factor. Yeah. I mean, you've had Kelly Olynyk, Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley. Yep. All those guys have not been at their best health-wise for the postseason, and it was a major factor in them not being able to advance out of the first round. This year, they're a little deeper, and they're able, I think, to absorb, you know, some of those health issues. But if you're talking about having the kind of season that they've had and making the most of it, they're going to need everybody, all hands on deck.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Celtics Talk Podcast. Shout out to Gershon Yabusele.
Thanks, job, Draper.
Dude, I am on fire today. On fire. Make sure you tune us in on CSNNE.com, Audio Boom, Stitcher, iTunes, every podcasting app out there, all your favorite ones. And make sure you leave a review also and a rating. We want to hear from you guys on those ratings, on those reviews, and on Twitter, Sherrod BCSN and Kyle Draper TV. We will see you next time on the Celtics Talk Podcast.
We're out!